This morning's scripture text is taken from Proverbs. Hector referenced that in his children's message, which was really to all of us. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It's on page 992. And I am not going to actually read that at this point. I'm going to read that in the context of the message is part of one point. So you will hear that along with a number of scriptures, but if you want to have your Bibles open to that, I will let you know when we get to it. It's is part of the introduction. But we are continuing on in our sermon summer series on the Ten Commandments, God's top ten, as I like to call them. And this morning's message, Truth Be Told, begins with some truth about lying. I want to think about the truth about lying as we introduce this subject. Liar, liar, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. You ever hear that part? Ah, there you go. It gets longer as we go along. Probably all of us either said that or had that said to us when we were kids growing up. It's a good thing it's not really true. Otherwise, many of us would be walking around with a limp, burnt, or in a lot of pain if it was actually literally true. Some churches might even come in regular and extra crispy when it comes to pants on fire. But anyhow, a minister wound up services one morning by saying, "Next Sunday I'm going to be preaching on the subject of liars. And in conjunction with this theme, I'd like for all of you to read the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Mark." The next Sunday, the preacher rose up again and asked, "Now, all of you who have done as I requested and read the 17th chapter of Mark, please raise your hands." And nearly everyone in the congregation put their hands up. And so the preacher said, "Very good. You are precisely the people that I wish to speak to this morning, because there is no 17th chapter of the Gospel of Mark." Ah, busted. Well, the ninth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 is, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Truth is the very foundation and bedrock of all of society. And telling the truth reflects the very heart and nature of God and is essential to the fabric holding together our society and any society. In the July 15th edition of the Boardroom Reports in 1993, actually, Peter Levine wrote, "When the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey ran a help wanted ad for electricians with expertise at using SunTag connectors, it got 170 responses, even though there is no such thing as SunTag connectors. The authority ran the ad to find out how many applicants would falsify resumes." It's all too common in our culture. Bending the truth, adding spin to the story, shading an account is modeled by one generation and passed on to the next generation of our young people today, sadly. Other story. This is from the Christian Reader, a story by Clara Null of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Says, "On a beautiful fall day, four of my granddaughter's friends decided to go for a drive instead of showing up for class on time." Hooky, almost, playing hooky. When they did arrive late, The girls explained to the teacher that they had had a flat tire. The teacher accepted the excuse to the girls' relief. And teacher said, since you missed this morning's quiz, you must take it now. And she said, please sit in the four corner seats in this room without talking to one another. And when they were seated, the teacher said, on your paper, write the answer to one question. Which tire was flat? Aha. Tricky, eh? The only thing preventing meltdown in human society are the words, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. A failure to do this could mean the destruction of innocent lives and a level of distrust within our culture that would prevent truth from ever ruling in our society. Telling the truth may have undesired consequences, like getting in trouble with your teacher or your parents or whatever. But deceit always brings disaster, this tangled web we weave to deceive or whatever. Okay. God's evaluation of deceit in the scriptures includes our text this morning. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Proverbs 6:16-19. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 12:22. Wow. Choice to be delightful or detestable in the sight of God. It's up to you. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house, says the Lord. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Psalm 101, verse 7. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish. Proverbs 19, verse 9. Along with the unbelieving, vile, murderers, and sexual immoral, God says that all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Revelation 21, 8. Strong, strong words from the scriptures, straight out of the Bible. Well, this morning I want to consider three truths about lying. Three basic understandings about the practice of lying. First of all, let's consider the origin of lying. The origin of lying. As Hector was sharing, the father of lies is the devil himself. According to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders at the time. And he said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I come from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you were unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and will carry out your father's desire. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe him. When we lie, we are more like the devil than we are Christ, of course. Satan, the father of lies. We see him in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. We see him lying to man about God, speaking with the serpentine forked tongue, perhaps with a hiss or a lisp, saying, "Did God really say, 'You shall not surely die'?" Shedding doubts and spreading questions about the veracity of God's word, the truth of God's word. The Garden of Eden. Next, we see Satan in the courts of heaven itself. See him lying to God about man, saying the only reason Job obeys you is because you were so good to him. Next, or along the way, we see Satan at the cross, giving lies to men, knowing that men will lie about Jesus, prompting the hearts and minds of many to bear false witness in the kangaroo courts of Pilate and the religious leaders of the time, King Herod, about Christ himself. In other words, in Genesis, he uses the lie to corrupt a godly man. And in Job, he uses lies to criticize a good man. And in the Gospels, he uses lies to crucify the God-man, Jesus. And at the end of all things, in the book of Revelation, we see the prophecy that the Antichrist will come. And Satan embodies the Antichrist, whose deceit will bring about the end of this world. So from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, we see the devil is a liar. And when we lie, we align ourselves with him, with death, destruction, damnation. Sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. But sin is brought about by lies and deceit, according to the origin of lying. Don't take lying lightly. God doesn't. The origin of lying. Well, let's consider, secondly, the operation of lying. How does lying operate in people's lives? I have 7 ways people lie without even thinking about it. The first has to do with slander, or you might add libel to that. Slander is a spoken form. Libel is the written form of lying with intention of doing harm to another's reputation. Slandering them. I can steal from you and return it. But if I spread lies about you, I may not be able to undo them and the results of them. Psalm 101 verses 3 through 5 says, "The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence." Slander is a serious thing. And gossip is often mostly another form of lying, using truth in such a way as to hurt someone. Sometimes in a court of law, as in slander, which is called malicious intent. The King James Version uses the term tale-bearing for gossip. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, talked about evil speaking, gossip, spreading gossip, and he told his itinerant preachers, those in the Methodist movement in the beginning of the Methodist movement, to preach against evil speak and tale-bearing at least once a year to the societies of Methodists, those called Methodists. Today we might call it sharing news, spreading rumors, gossip. Don't do it. Plus, Christians should try and stop others from doing it. Christians should not repeat whatever they've heard, good or bad. Plus, Christians should make a part of their Christian job description to stifle gossip and to stop being involved. Removal of malignant tumors in society, so to speak. Paul said to Timothy about gossipers in 1 Timothy 5:13, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel young widows to marry and have children and manage their homes and give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. Leviticus 19, verse 16 in the King James Version says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, thy people. Remember, anyone who will gossip to you today will surely gossip about you the next day. Don't allow your ears to become other people's trash cans. You've heard that said. Gossip, one of the cancerous diseases of Christian society, sadly. Another form of lying is insinuation. You don't actually say something, but you suggest it, imply it, hint at it. Living by the letter of the law, but not by the spirit of the law. Insinuating something, carefully crafting words that give the wrong impression is still deceit. While not a literal lie, it's got the same effect. Slander, gossip, insinuation, and spreading half-truths. Another form of lying that people fall into without even thinking about it is half-truths, not telling the whole truth. You know how it goes. The parent asks the teen, where are you going? And the young person says, to Jason's house. The parent should follow up and say, oh, well, where from there, right? Because that's just part of the story. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. A half-truth is a whole lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. A lie is a lie. Well, a fifth form of lying that people fall into is flattery. Insincere praise for the purpose of manipulation. Flattery may get you somewhere, but it's not honoring to God. Saying something to somebody's face that you'd never say behind their back. Psalm 55 verse 21 says, his speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Remember, when somebody starts buttering you up, they're probably going to have you for lunch. You've heard that expression. Exaggeration. There's another form of lying. You always do that. You never let me do that. Is that really true? Embellishing a story for the drama or the impact. The fish was how big? Right? Well, one last form of deceit is excuses, often dressed up as deception. So the origin of lies, the operation of lying, comes from many forms. There's a third truth about lying I would like to consider, and that's overcoming lies. The overcoming of lies. And by the way, I changed the order of these. It's going to be different than you'll probably see on the PowerPoint because I changed it late breaking news yesterday afternoon. Number one, learn the truth. Okay. Well, I'm going with number two as number one. Follow that? Learn the truth, first of all. Saturate your mind with God's truth. Be immersed with God's word, the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus said. Jesus defeated the devil by the written word of God, the scriptures. For it is written, he said. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. So, learn the truth in such a way to make it part of you, within your heart. Secondly, love the truth. Right. Second, love the truth. David in Psalm 51 prayed, O Lord, you desire truth in the inward being. The heart of the matter is a change of heart. We need inward spiritual change, conversion of the heart by the power and work of the Holy Spirit. God can change our hearts so that we might live with integrity. A person is not a liar because he lies, but he lies because he's a liar in his heart, and God can change that. So, learn the truth, love the truth, and thirdly, live the truth. Make it a part of your lifestyle. Live it. Live in truth. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, church, don't be blown around by the winds of cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as every part does its work. And skipping down to verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's radically countercultural. That stands against the flow, the norm of our society. And it's often been that down through the generations. The heart of God, in his very nature and character, is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I am sending the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, to be with you, to lead you into all truth. John chapter 14 and 16. Reflect God's truth in your godly character, that you may be like him more and more in all that you say, in all that you do, and all that you are, knowing that the truth will set you free. The press and the challenge of God's law is convicting for all of us sinners, and just like every single sermon in this series, I want to end with grace. Because all of us have transgressed these laws, and all of us are in need of God's forgiveness and amazing grace, which is readily extended to every one of us freely. Let us come to the one who is holding out his arms to us to welcome us back as we turn from sin and seek to live a more godly life. Know that his grace covers all. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the immensity of your love, for your amazing grace, for your mercy. It is beyond our wildest imagination. Forgive us, we pray, for the times that we have shaded the truth and not been completely straightforward and upright in all that we have said. As we think back, Lord, we know that we need your forgiveness, and we thank you that you are here to offer it. We thank you that through Jesus, we can be made new and right in your sight, become people of truth, people of integrity, as your word demands. Help us to be holy, that our lives might shine with the light of your truth, and nothing might cast a shadow. Lord, we ask that you would help us to live for you, to live in righteousness and truth, as you are. We thank you for this challenge from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.